Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhaft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei HaYamim Bet, Perek Gimel. Our perek is the first of two chapters which describe the Beit HaMikdash temple that Shlomo built. In general, these two prakim are parallel to the account in Melachim Aleph, chapters 6 and 7. There are some minor additions or elucidations, but one has to wonder why Ezra thought it was important to include two very technical prakim that are, for the most part, redundant. The Ramban, in Parshat Vayakel in Exodus, made the following observation. Hine hechzir b'Torah melechet hamishkan chamesh pa'amim. The Torah has repeated the description of the work of the tabernacle 5 times. The Al HaKal kol zeh derech chiba v'derech mala, lomar ki chafetz Hashem b'mlacha umaskir ota b'torato pa'amim rabot leharbot sachar leoskimba. In general, then, all this repetition in the account of the Mishkan tabernacle is a sign of love and distinction, showing that God desires the work and that he mentions it in his Torah many times in order to increase the reward of those who engage themselves in its study. Hashem returns to the subject again and again because it is so dear to him. We can imagine that when Ezra wrote Divrei HaYamim, the glory of Shlomo's Beit HaMikdash was already forgotten. We can imagine how he longed for the day when they would build the second temple and wanted to write the many details and recreate the Mikdash much in the same way it had been done in the Torah. The chapter begins with Psukim Aleph Bet, verses 1 and 2. Vayechal Shlomo livnot beit Hashem b'Yerushalayim b'har Moriah asher nirah l'David avihu asher hechin b'mkom David b'rgoren arnan hayevusi. Then Shlomo began to build the house of God in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where Hashem had appeared to his father, David, at the place that David had designated, at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Vayachel livnot b'chodesh ha-sheni, b'sheni, b'shnat arba l'malchuto. He began to build on the second day of the second month of the fourth year of his reign. There is a lot to unpack in these psukim, and we will begin by comparing it to Melachim Perek Vav, Kings chapter 6, where the parallel account is found. Verse 1. Vayhi b'shmonim shana v'arba ma'ot shana, latzei b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, b'shana ha-revi'it, b'chodesh ziv, hu ha-chodesh ha-sheni, l'melech Shlomo al Yisrael, v'yiven ha-bayit l'Hashem. In the 480th year after the Israelites left the land of Egypt, in the month of Ziv, that is, the second month, in the fourth year of his reign over Israel, Shlomo began to build the house of God. At the end of the chapter, we see in Psukim 37 to 38, B'shana ha-revi'it yusad beit Hashem b'yerach Ziv. In the fourth year, in the month of Ziv, the foundations of the house of God were laid. U'b'shana ha-achat esrei b'yerach bul, hu ha-chodesh ha-shmini, kala ha-bayit, l'chol zirav u'l'chol mishpatav, v'yivneu sheva shanim. And in the 11th year, in the month of Bul, that is the 8th month, the house was completed according to all its details and all its specifications. It took him 7 years to build it. 2 things that we notice is that Melachim includes the year that the building began, while our Sefer Divrei HaYamim does not. Also, Melachim includes not only the date that the building began, but also when it ended, which Divrei HaYamim does not. Melachim seems to be more interested in the facts. This is when it happened, and this is how long it lasted. Whereas Divrei HaYamim seems more interested in the essence of the event. The building of the Beit HaMikdash would begin a new era in our relationship with Hashem, and it includes the day that this began, because it is significant. Yet, while Melachim focused more on the facts and the specifics, it did not reference the location. Divrei HaYamim specifically mentions that the location of the building was in Yerushalayim on Har HaMoriah, and refers to the narrative from the last chapter of Sefer Shmuel that took place at the threshing floor of Arnon the Yebusi, which was retold in Divrei HaYamim Aleph, Perek 21. This narrative and its consequences are important to the eternal essence of the building of the temple. A brief recap. David initiates a counting of Bnei Israel, which he should not have done, and it resulted in a plague that left 70,000 members of Bnei Israel dead. He buys land from Arnon and builds an altar and brings sacrifices, which appeases Hashem, and the plague ends. Immediately afterward, David states, "Vayomer David, Zehu Beit Hashem HaElokim, Veze Mizbach LaOlal Yisrael." David said, "Here will be the house of God, and here the altar of burnt offerings for Israel." And he began preparations for the temple to be built. Divrei HaYomim, in both the previous chapter 21 and here in our parak, connect the plague and its aftermath to the discovery of the location of the future temple location. Sefer Shmuel, like Malachim, was interested in David as the king and what he did and did not do. Divrei HaYomim, however, is more interested in the eternal David, how his actions influence the future and therefore connects the event to identifying the location of the future temple. This is significant. We have known since we are children that the Beit HaMikdash was built on Har HaMoriah. But we have to go backwards to the time of Moshe and Bnei Israel in the Midbar, desert, and look at what they were told about the location and what they knew so we can appreciate the significance of David's discovery on the threshing floor of Arnon the Yebusi. The first reference to a permanent Mikdash in Israel is in Devarim, Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 5. Ki'im el hamakom asher yivchar Hashem elokeichem mikol shivteichem lasum et shmo sham lishichno tidrushu uvata shama. But look only to the site that your God will choose amidst all of your tribes as God's habitation to establish the divine name there. To his habitation you shall seek, and there you are to go. This phrasing is only found in Sefer Devarim and appears approximately 21 times. It does not explicitly state where the location will be, just that Hashem will choose the location. We can assume it's Yerushalayim, but Rabbeinu Bache wrote, "Ki af al pi sheyadu hakol ma'alato shel har Moriah, lo hayu yodin ki hu hamakom asher yivchar Hashem." Although everyone knew of the significance of Mount Moriah in the past, they had no idea of what this meant in terms of its future religious significance, in terms of the place God would choose. Before the Mikdash was built, the Jewish people knew there would be one, but did not know where. Why did the Torah hide the identity? Menachem Liebtag suggests that the geographic location is not specified so that its function can be highlighted. The Chizkuni paints an idyllic picture of what it must have been like when someone went to the Mikdash during one of the three regalim. It was a national religious center. It's not just about korbanot, sacrifices. While you were there, you would meet Jews from all over Israel. You would see the Beit Din convening. You would hear the Levim singing. And it was a momentous place to be and a special event to behold. The Rambam and Mor Nevuchim gave three reasons why the location was hidden. One, if the nations of the world knew about the location, they would all fight over it and want to use it as their own holy site. Two, if the Canaanites knew about the significance of the location to the Israelites, they would destroy it and raise it to the ground. And three, the tribes would fight amongst themselves so that the location would fall into their nachala, inheritance, and it would lead to great fighting. So in reality, until David built the Mizbeach, the altar, on the threshing floor of Arnon and established it as the site of the future temple, the Jewish people did not in fact know that that is where it was to be built. It is of course no surprise that the location was revealed to David. Based on the words in the Pasuk from Devarim, "Lishichno tidrushu, to his habitation you shall seek," the Ramban explains that it is our obligation to try to find the place where the Mikdash is to be built, to search for it, to want for it. Who better fits this description than David, who all along wanted to build the Mikdash? When David felt that he had vanquished his enemies, his first request was to build the temple. Natan the prophet told him that he would not be the one to build it, but David is the first to express the desire to try. In fact, the Ramban in Parshat Korach has an interesting perspective on the erroneous census that David took at the end of Sefer Shmuel. He wrote, "Ani omer b'derech svara, shehaya onish al Yisrael b'itacher binyan beit habechira." Shehaya ha'aron holich, the ohel, el ohel, kager ba'aretz, the ein ha'shvatim mitzorim lemor, nidrosh et Hashem v'vnei ha'bayit lishmo, ke'inyan shene'emar, l'shichnoti drushu, uvata shama. And I say by way of explanation that Israel was punished because of the delay in the building of the sanctuary. Since the ark went from tent to tent as a stranger in the land, and none of the tribes bestirred themselves to say, let us seek God and build a house to his name, just as it is written, unto his habitation you shall seek, and there you shall go. It is not surprising that Ezra would have wanted to emphasize this. He could not have even realized the challenges he would face in getting the Jewish people to return to Israel when Cyrus gave permission, let alone convincing them to build the second Beit HaMikdash. Constant reference to the events at the threshing floor and David's actions were meant to inspire the people and get them ready to return and build, to fulfill the divine command from Devarim, L'shichno tidrashu, to his habitation you shall seek. The rest of the chapter records the details of the structure of the temple that Shlomo built. It concludes with the construction of two amudim, pillars, that would stand to the right and left of the entrance of the Heichal inside the hall. The right one was called Yachin, from to be established, and the left one was known as Boaz, Boaz, strength is in it. As one entered the Mikdash, he would be greeted by these two pillars. Radak explained that together their names were to imply a prayerful wish for the permanent establishment of the temple. This shiur is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudit Bat Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shiva Sion left an indelible mark on her many students.